Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Mallory Pipey text line, time permitting. I'll try to get to whatever text are remaining. 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, a returning champion. We do it this time every week on Fridays. State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Back from Montgomery. Just one more day and we'll be done.
One more day, and it's all over. Let's talk about that a little bit. So Todd Stacey and I were talking about this earlier. Testing Garland Gudger, the Democrats, maybe they over-tested, I would argue. But this was kind of a learning experience, 2025, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's fair, and I think that would have been the case with any, new pro tem. The Democrats in the Senate like to exert all of the influence that they can possibly exert, and we have seen them do that time and time and time again for a long time. They're very successful at using the rules to their advantage, and so they are both admittedly very influential. I say both. I'm speaking specifically of Senator Smitherman and Senator Singleton. They are very influential, and they are very powerful, and so dealing with them can be a challenge at times, and it certainly was on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just all session long, and well, this has been a chronic complaint of mine for years, but what is the likelihood? So Todd Stacey and I were, he thinks rule changes are possible for next year. Well, I'm kind of like, I could see them waiting until the new quadrennium and getting this all hammered out in like an organizational session or whatever. But he really thinks that we could see changes as soon as 2026.
I would be okay with that. I don't agree that that's what's coming. I think we probably wait until the new quadrennium to adjust the rules, and that's probably more than just rules on cloture or how long anybody's got to speak on anything and what motions are debatable, etc. I think that's a big rule overhaul and probably one that needs to take place in the new quadrennium. But the balance with my Democrat colleagues has always been, in my opinion, they represent, they represent their districts. Their voice needs to be heard as well. But there is a point where it absolutely keeps other things from happening that the majority wants to do. And if they abuse the rules, if they take advantage of them, then it's the majority's responsibility to change them. And so I think that's something that we will see. Now, whether that happens next year or, a year from now in the new quadrennium is yet to be determined. But I do think they're coming one way or the other.
Yeah, it's talking to some of these longtime guys who've been around, even when Democrats were in the majority, it wasn't this way. You didn't have Republicans do what they've done. Not to justify one thing one way or another, but I think it's just based on that, that it does feel like there's some abuses that are taking place here.
I'd agree with that, and I think that anybody that watches the body day in, day out on the floor would agree with that, too. I mean, I remember having some of my local farming folks in town during that debate, and they were like, what's going on? And I said, this is over gambling. And they, how is that even possible? We're talking about Alpha doing healthcare. And I said, Alpha was very impactful on, the gaming conversation, and that bleeds over, a year later into this conversation. And so, trying to explain sometimes to my constituents and even to House members, what's going on in the Senate, what's happening on the floor, why we can or cannot get things done, and how it relates to the mood of the minority party is one of the more difficult parts of the job and one of the more frustrating parts of the job.
Well, but you sense it this year more than I have in the past, because in the past, Senator, it was sort of like, well, that's just how it is, and we did the best we could. There's not much we could do about it. We'll try again next year or whatever. And I always, it's a bad look for a super majority. But Is it your sense, you know, your awareness of what you hear in that chamber or among your colleagues? I know y'all talk, a lot of you are really close, but this year it seems to sting a little differently. People are, you know, especially with local bills, getting killed because of, you know, something totally, totally unrelated.
Yeah, and you're going to see that this year. You're going to see a lot of local bills die because the minority party has eaten up the clock and has filibustered ad nauseum to the point where we can't get a lot of them done. Now, we will get some of them done. I think, you know, the pro tem has indicated that's a priority of his, and I expect to see some of that. But you've also seen, you know, holds placed by individual senators on local bills, some on the Republican side, some on the Democrat side. This, you know, back-to-back or back-and-forth, you know, angst between the House and the Senate is something that happens every year, although I think it's been more personalized this year than in the past. It's just the process is what the process is. But I do think that some changes are probably in order. And then navigating that process is tough. You know, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, you know, filibuster them. Okay, well, we can do that. But before the BIR goes away, the budget isolation resolution, that means you're spending close to an hour on a bill based on the current rules. And that means you can only get to a dozen or so bills a day, you know, if you do it that way. Now, after the BIR, that time frame gets cut in half, but it's still not nearly as quickly as we can move if we don't have problems with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle. And so navigating that is always difficult. I think Senator Gudger's done a pretty good job of dealing with that. It's just a matter of how we deal with that until we change the rules, you know, in the next quadrennium.
Well, and I tell you, what's kind of crazy to me, it's like it's not Republican versus Democrat. It's more House versus Senate. But it's Democrat House versus Democrat Senate, and you're holding a Republican supermajority hostage over some kind of internal Democratic Party strife.
You're not wrong, and it is always, you know, interesting to see that happen as well. We saw it this week, you know, with Representative Givan, Ronald Givan in the Senate, and you know, she was not happy with Senator Smitherman about something, and that so that ends up tying things up, and it's like, hold on, what's going on? And so it's always interesting. The behind the scenes story is always interesting, and it is incredibly impactful. I would say the time on the floor to get things done and get things passed is so precious that the ability to obstruct that equates to power. And so when you can hold things up and lever them until you get what you want, you wield that power. And I think in order to reduce that misalignment of power, we're going to have to change the rules in the Senate because it's out of whack right now.
And to me, was this, you know, here we are sitting in Mobile, Alabama, or on a Mobile station and talking about the Birmingham Water Works. And this was sort of the breaking point because, okay, you knew what you had to do. You knew that Smitherman was going to do everything in his power to stop this. And then you get these guys backed in a corner. And it's like, oh, you rascals, all right, let's cut a deal. But it was kind of with this idea that you were going to get kind of a truce that was going to hold till the end of the session. And guess what? It lasted maybe a week. And then it was back to our battle stations. And I think that was like you kind of saw like a real learning experience for a lot of people that you can't leave these things to like these gentlemen's agreements anymore.
Well, and you have to be strategic, too, about how many times you touch a piece of legislation, right? I mean, you've got the first reading, you've got committee, it's got to come out of committee, what amendments and substitutes, what motions does it have? It's got to go to the other chamber committee, you know, does it get amended there? Then it has to come back for concurrence. You saw this with the Archives and History Bill, and every single time there's a change or something like that, it's an opportunity for the Democrats to wield that power, right, to insert themselves and slow things down. You may have, you know, an Archives and History bill up that the Democrats may not like, but you may also see a filibuster on some bill because of some other gaming legislation in Greene County, which we saw on Wednesday as well. And so, you know, anytime you have the number of touches, the number of changes in a legislation, you risk these types of things blowing up, and managing that and navigating that is truly a test for anybody. It is a challenge for sure.
Well, at least one of your colleagues it puts it like this, Senator. I don't want to see them change the rules because I might want to use these tactics of a filibuster someday. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's sort of a tradition of not filibustering someone in your own party, right? That's not something. Does that? I mean, if that, you usually have these things ironed out in caucus, and it never gets to that point. But there's not, it's much different when it's Republican in-house or Republican on Republican, right?
It is. That's proven to be the case. I don't know that there are any hard and fast rules, but generally it is. What is the will of the caucus? But you've seen individual Republicans that have said, nope, I'm going to filibuster this. I'm going to keep that from happening. I don't care that you're a fellow Republican. I'm going to stop this. Now, that certainly hardens relationships within the caucus and is not a tool to be used frequently, if at all.
Let me revise my remarks. Not so much filibuster, but cloture your own. If they're willing,
yes.
If you have a member willing to filibuster within your own caucus, the caucus is very reluctant to cloture their own member.
You are correct on that, and there are caucus rules about that where we don't cloture our own members. And so when you have a member that says, I'm filibustering this, whatever that may be, I feel very strongly about this. And again, not something to be used frequently, but if that's the case, then typically that's one of those things that says, hey, don't put this on the calendar, unless you want a serious problem on the floor. The problem, though, Jeff, is when we see the Democrats filibustering this thing, that thing, the other thing, all of the time, then you have to wonder, hold on just a second, do we really need to allow this type of, we'll call it debate, right, on these issues, when all you're doing is effectively giving the Democrats a veto over legislation, because you're allowing them to stop anything and everything they want to do. And that's why I think a rules change is warranted.
And it's a perverse incentive, because I don't think it's necessarily sometimes, Democrats, it's not every instance where they go to the mat here with the filibuster is Birmingham Waterworks. They will do it over a lot of other things, but sometimes it's just this lobbyist who we got a good relationship doesn't want this bill to move. And they will go to the two senators who are willing to do this and, hey, can you do us a solid here? And you don't have to lobby the rest of the body. You could just lobby one or two members, and then you earn your pay for the day. It shouldn't be that easy.
It shouldn't be. And listen, I've seen that exact scenario occur this year, and it's very frustrating to watch, to say how, a simple majority of the legislature can override the governor's veto. A simple majority of the legislature cannot override Roger Smitherman or Bobby Singleton. At the end of the day, their veto power currently is worth more than the governor's veto power. And that's out of step. And so I think that we really need to look at changes in the not too distant future, because we can't, in my opinion, we're not nearly as effective as we otherwise could be if we were able to stop debate and move on with whatever the Republican supermajority priorities are.
Hey, look, there's a precedent here. When Lieutenant Governor Windom was, stalling a lot, using his power presiding over the Senate to stall, they changed the rules immediately. Remember, they acted as soon as they could, and that really changed sort of the balance of power in the Alabama State Senate forever.
It did, and it has, those are changes that we can make. They're not changes that should be taken lightly. You're correct. I have other colleagues that say, whoa, I may want to use that power one day, and I understand that. I'm not sure that preserving the ability to maybe use that one day is, outweighs, if you will, the fact that it is being used almost every day to thwart Republican priorities, conservative priorities. And if it's not being used on the floor every day, it's at least being used behind the scenes as a threat. to manage the calendar. And that's a tough pill to swallow. It's tough as a senator to say, I can't get my bill to move on the calendar because one person on the other side doesn't like it. That's a hard thing. And so I think you'll see changes.
And then, you know, we kind of made this about the inside baseball of the Alabama State Senate, but it's not as if someday, hey, Republicans might be not be in the majority, or they might be a super minority. That's just probably not going to happen in our lifetimes.
It's not, but we have made this about inside baseball and a lot of it, but it is the most impactful thing. The rules, navigating the relationships, and understanding how things get done is the most impactful thing on whether or not legislation gets passed. That's a frustrating thing to hear, and it's a frustrating thing to say. It's not always the merits of the legislation. It's not always the number of votes you have. It's the ability to navigate the floor. It's the ability to navigate the rules to actually get things done. And effective legislators know how to do that. And so, you know, that's what matters at the end of the day, is understanding the procedure and the rules.
Senator, we're out of time, and sorry to hijack this about the inside parliamentary tactics of the state senate, but I think it's interesting. But thanks for making time for us. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, Jeff. You'll have a great weekend. Thank you.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.